This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Well, I'll tell you, the spying issue came up big time today, bigly in the Oval Office. The president was asked about it, and he said, look, there was no collusion, there was no obstruction, no collusion, no obstruction. But something I noticed last night that was said on CNN, or what was not said on CNN last night, who Azra Turk worked for. Welcome to the show. Glad you are here. Happy Friday. We made it. And couldn't be happier about that. Hope to see you tomorrow if you're coming to our Down and Derby Wine Festival. Actually, the pot on the Kentucky Derby is up to $3 million. So it's going to be huge. So who is this Azra Turk, right? So she's this woman who the government of the United States of America is using undercover. And she might have even tried to get George Papadopoulos undercovers as well. Look, spies do that stuff. It's what they do. They try to, you know, use their charm and their. We've all seen enough James Bond movies to understand that. Like, we're big kids. We're adults. We can have this conversation. He was on with Tucker last night. I don't know if you saw George Papadopoulos on with Tucker Carlson last night, but he was essentially saying that she was coming on to him. And so who is she? I mean, who is she? And where did she come from? The New York Times article yesterday said that she was dispatched by the FBI. George Papadopoulos thinks she's CIA. I think she's probably both. I mean, I think that what this Azra Turk woman proves is that if the government sends this woman over and she says, okay, hey, I'm a research assistant and I'm working with this Cambridge professor, and you know, he's a FBI informant, and she's here to learn about the campaign, but she's actually there to get information about the Trump campaign to bring back to the FBI, then they're, it seems to me, they're the lead agency on what is probably an interagency task force. I mean, look, we've also seen enough cop movies to know that too, right? That sometimes you have these joint task forces where you've got the feds and the locals and the county and the federales, the marshals, and a lot of times, especially when you're dealing with overseas, you have the CIA or the NSA and the FBI, and you have all these other things. The New York Times reporter who wrote the FBI honeypot story, as it's being known, was asked whether Azra Turk worked for the FBI. And he said, and I quote, I'm just going to leave it right now as a government investigator. I use that wording for a reason, and I'm going to leave it at that. And probably she was probably working with the CIA and maybe another intelligence agency. And the FBI was probably running point on all of it. But you know what that says to me? That says to me that this whole spying thing was bigger than anyone realized until right. I mean, we knew it, but it was bigger than they ever even mentioned it was big in the news or anywhere else. It was big. It involved multiple agencies with different letters and little acronyms, you know, for their names. Three letter acronyms for their names of their agencies running around and spying on a presidential campaign. And look, the bottom line is the rule is CYA. Cover your you know what. Cover it, baby, because in Washington, if you don't cover it, then you will be on the chopping block. It's how it works. Now, a lot of people work for the CIA, but don't work for the CIA. I mean, they're not CIA. They're not on the. They get paid, but they're not CIA operatives. You know, they're sources, or they're people that are consultants. Remember that game show about the game show movie with the guy who was the CIA, also as a game show host. He was doing stuff for the CIA. There's a lot of that goes on. But I think the bigger story here is you got to back up to the dossier and you got to say, well, how did the dossier take life? It took life because the Central Intelligence Agency said this thing's legit, put it in the president's daily briefing, brought it to the level of being taken seriously. But you had all these other CIA, real CIA people who work there full time, and they all said the same thing. This thing's a piece of junk. It's BS. So who was pushing it from the CIA? And I think it's very obvious who was pushing it. The same guy who's been out there on television nonstop since he left the CIA, John Brennan, the director who hates Trump and loved Hillary Clinton and thinks Trump is a traitor and blah, 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 blah. That guy was the one who pushed the dossier. So doesn't it make sense then that the CIA and the FBI are working on this joint interagency, and there might be other agencies, I think there would be, on this joint interagency task force to spy on the Trump campaign, especially when you're dealing with overseas, especially when you're dealing with people, and it's clear espionage here, and you get Christopher Steele's involved, and he was a British spy. So it makes sense the CIA is involved too, right? Makes sense. And it makes sense the FBI would be coordinating with them, running point on all this. Somebody's got to run point in these investigations. Somebody's got to have the decision-making powers. But if that's the case, then the Attorney General of the United States is going to know about it, too. You're not going to have a joint FBI-CIA operation looking into a presidential campaign, and they're not going to tell the people that are the higher on the food chain than them. So that means that the FBI director knew, Comey, and then that means that his boss, Loretta Lynch, knew. And we know that she knew because she sent an email to herself at the end of her tenure as Attorney General, basically reiterating what was happening, that Obama knew, and Obama said everything was going to be above board and everything was going to be up on the up and up, and then deciding whether or not the incoming Trump team would be able to see classified information as it deals with Russia, which is code for destroy anything that might lead back to us. I mean, that's how I interpret it. Once he becomes president, you can't not show him stuff, right? So why would Loretta Lynch, the outgoing Attorney General, mention in this memo that she writes to herself, strangely enough, that the president, Barack Obama, says we have to discuss what classified Russia information we can show them. Now, the answer in a normal world is everything. But the answer in a world where you have people who've been spying on their campaign and they're about to find out who the people were that spied on their campaign, the answer is let's put a code in there so everybody knows what to do. Start shredding, start deleting, start covering tracks. Cover tracks as quickly as possible, because guess what? In a few weeks, they're going to have the passwords to all this stuff. That's how I interpret it. And I think that you recognize now just how big this operation was. Multiple continents, multiple agencies. You got to wonder if MI6 was involved, the British spy agency. I think the answer to that is yes. I think we know that. So then, does that mean that the Prime Minister of England knew about it too? Did he know? Did the Queen know? And Barack Obama knew, because there's no way the CIA director and the Attorney General of the United States are going to know about this operation and not tell the president. The president knew. And we know he knew because he says at the end that he was making sure everything was above board. But the question is, when did he know? And what did he know? What did he know and when did he know it? I'd like to know that. I'd like to know that. That's my big question of the day today. What did Barack Obama know and when did he know it? Did he know it after all these agencies had been coordinating and running point on this international spying mission against people who were on the Trump campaign? Did he know then or did he know beforehand? See, because I have to wonder that too. You know, there's a certain point where if you're even in local law enforcement, and cops will tell you this, you know, there becomes a point where an operation gets so big, you got to tell a commanding officer, and then that commanding officer may have to go to the chief or the commissioner, and then the commissioner may have to go to the mayor. Like there reaches a point where it becomes so big, so vast, or you're going after a very powerful person. Like, I'm sure that before there are raids on powerful political people, other powerful political people get a heads up that that's happening. It's just how it works. It's how life works. You know, if you're busting guys on the corner selling drugs, it's one thing. If you go after, say, a respected, prominent businessman who now you realize is a drug kingpin, before you raid his office in Center City, you're probably going to let the mayor know. Or you're going to at least let the commissioner know and let the commissioner decide if he's going to tell the mayor, especially if the guy might be a big campaign contributor or something like that. Now, you've got the Republican nominee for president of the United States and people on his campaign on international soil now are being spied on. They're using undercover operatives to infiltrate the campaign. So I got to ask the question, before that was signed off on, did anybody let people in the Oval Office know? What do you think? What does common sense tell you? Now, I know in the movies they always say things like, well, plausible deniability. Plausible deniability is BS. Nobody actually wants to give the president plausible deniability. You know why? Because if he doesn't know and you know and something went wrong or something was illegal, you go to prison. That's why. But if the president signs off on it, it's like that clear and present danger line, you know, the get out of jail free card. If you have the get out of jail free card, well, then it's different. Well, you know, I told the president, he signed off on it. You know, they didn't do the enhanced interrogation down at Guantanamo and not tell President Bush because they wanted him that plausible deniability. That's not how it works. The reason why they didn't do that is because those people would have been, they would have went to prison. But the fact the president signed off on it, you know, we have kill lists, right? These ridiculous kill lists. I don't know if the Trump administration has killed any Americans. I know that the Obama administration killed at least 4 American citizens without a trial, even a trial in, you know, absentia. But again, before, it's like we have the U.S. target. Do we kill them or not? Somebody's going to say, let me make a call. There's certain things you make a call on in life. So now you got the CIA, the FBI involved, and who else was involved? We don't know. You have this dossier. You have the international women of mystery going over and talking to guys in bars and trying to get them in bed and trying to get information on the Trump campaign. And this is all whose call exactly? I guess a couple dopey FBI agents? I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy that for a second. I mean, Peter Strzok is arrogant. And so is Lisa Page, his lover. I get it. These people are incredibly arrogant, but they're also not stupid. I mean, he's kind of stupid, but she seems smarter. They're not doing that without letting somebody above them know. Because it's their career at stake here. It's their career. You know, there comes a point where you, even though you hate somebody that you're after, you recognize now that it's too big and too political, and if you don't tell somebody and this goes wrong, you're going down. Like, imagine, for example, if they had authorized this undercover spy operation with this honeypot, go overseas, London, sit down with Papadopoulos, get in bed with Papadopoulos, whatever. And imagine the whole thing blows up badly, like badly blows up. Then who's going down for that? Well, not me. I told the Attorney General. Well, not me. I told the CIA director. Well, not me. I told the president. But we don't know, right? But we will know. And that's the point, I think, is we will know this. We're going to know soon. We're going to know soon, I think, how many agencies were involved here. And I think the reason why the former Attorney General of the United States of America, the previous Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, the reason why she wrote this memo explaining how President Obama knew everything and that they wanted everything done by the book is code for anything that wasn't done by the book needs to be destroyed. Put it in a burn bag and burn it, baby. Get rid of it, because they're about to come in. We didn't think they would, but they're coming in. You know, it's like that scene. It makes me think of Argo when they're burning stuff before they have to leave the embassy. And or any movie where they've got evidence and the cops are about to raid it. As to start destroying stuff, delete files, burn things. And you know what? They do that under the guise of national security, right? Well, because we can't let them see it. Literally, the question at the time was, do we let the incoming team know about Russia and all of the things with Russia? How could you even ask that question? Whether or not Donald Trump was a Russian plant or not, he was elected president. Right? So think about it from the perspective of January 2017, right? Even if Barack Obama and the incoming team, the outgoing team, believe that Donald Trump is a Russian plant, what are they going to do? The guy won. So they have to turn over everything to him. They can't not. They can't keep stuff. It's not how it works. So any questions about letting them see classified information as it pertains to Russia is not about Russia. It's about the investigation into Russia. And I think it's very coded, and I think it's very obvious what's being said without being said. That is that they're about to bust through the door. So flush the Coke down the toilet. Oh, by the way, Bernie Sanders asked kids about cocaine, which is what made me think of flushing Coke down the toilet. I'll play you that audio later. I don't know if this is something like one of his flashbacks from his honeymoon or not, but all this is becoming patently obvious now that there were a lot of very bad people in our government doing very bad police state style things. Arrogant, arrogant people who never thought they'd get caught. And hopefully now they will get caught. Although I think it's pretty obvious that we're all very worried they're going to get away with it, right? So we have a lot to get to the bottom of. It's funny, too, because there's so many people involved in this, it's hard to even keep the names straight. Rich sent me an email. He said, Susan Rice wrote the memo to herself, not Loretta Lynch. Oh, no, Susan Rice wrote a memo to herself as well. But Loretta Lynch signed every FISA warrant. She signed every FISA warrant that was used in the spying on the Trump campaign. Every single one of them. So, as Rand Paul put it, I guess it was a few weeks ago when he said, what documents from Loretta Lynch that she has that are not being released? And we have to find that out. Did Loretta Lynch get involved? Did Loretta Lynch, as the Attorney General, look over all of this? when Loretta Lynch's people were asked, and they said the same thing. Oh, yeah, and it was all done by the book. Everything was done by the book, and don't you worry about it. Everything was good. So the fact that she signed off on every single FISA court warrant of Papadopoulos, Carter Page, and everybody else, these things should be made public, right? I mean, I think everybody would agree that we could probably want to see that right now. It was Rand Paul who said there needs to be a full investigation into the origins of all of this, in particular what appears to be abuse by the Obama administration when it comes to using foreign surveillance wiretap powers. He says, quote, yeah, and the way you'll find out about it, like I said, is if they're demanding the full report come out and all that information come out, we should demand in exchange for that all of the paper, all the information that was transforming how and why they get those FISA warrants, and that should be made public too. Everybody should be allowed to read who's making the decisions and what their argument was for why anybody should respect or believe this dossier was paid for by the Clinton campaign. So I think that from my point of view, the only way I'll agree to release more information from this Mueller investigation is that they need to release information that purports to who is in the Obama administration agreed to start this hoax. I would also argue that when the president, if somebody would just tell the president this, you could release everything. You know, you've got that power now. You could just release everything. Just get it all out there right now. Rand Paul said, I've talked with President Trump several times about would this be, where would be the reform and what's going to happen. And the FBI is going to a judge to get a warrant in order to search the FISA database. The FISA database is a foreign intelligence database. We tap phones. We listen to people all around the world. But when you talk to an American, you're not supposed to be able to know who the American is without getting a warrant from a judge because Americans have a Fourth Amendment right. We believe President Trump has the power to make this the standard rule for the FBI. We tried to pass this in Congress, got very close. It didn't pass. That the FBI should have to get a warrant before you go spying on an American. But, you know, it's very, very simple. If the FISA court, the Constitution doesn't really apply. So you just bypass it. And they're approved 99.97% of the time, as we learned yesterday, as we knew, but was reiterated yesterday on the show. And so when the Attorney General of the United States of America is signing every single FISA warrant, you have to think she knew about this honeypot who's going overseas to meet with George Papadopoulos, right? And I think the FBI is running point on this with the CIA involved. But what other branches of security were also involved? Because I don't think it was just the two of them. I think it was multiple agencies, which brings us to Susan Rice. So Susan Rice is the national security advisor under President Obama. And Susan Rice, who's a perpetual liar, we know this from everything that happened with her in all the years of lying about the riots and Benghazi and everything else. So Susan Rice goes on to talk about how the intelligence community's involvement in this is going to be above board. It's going to be above board and everything is going to be great. It's all going to be done by the book. What does that mean? What does that exactly mean in terms of by the book? What does that mean? Now, you know about the unmaskings, right? So the unmaskings are when the National Security Agency discloses the names of Americans and businesses called unmasking. Now, the number of unmaskings that happened in the year of the U.S. election in this period of time now that we're talking about, 16,721, marks a 75% increase from 2017 when the NSA made about 10,000 disclosures to intelligence agencies. Why so much unmasking? Well, very simply. As Daily Caller says, the unmasking process has become controversial over the past 2 years. Republicans have alleged that Obama administration officials abused foreign surveillance laws by making unnecessary unmasking requests of Trump associates during the 2016 presidential campaign, as well as during the presidential transition period. Susan Rice, who served as President Obama's national security advisor, told Congress in 2017 that she unmasked the identities of Trump associates who took part in a meeting with officials from the United Arab Emirates in December of 2016. Samantha Power, who served as ambassador to the UN, said that an associate submitted 260 unmasking requests under her name in 2016. So as we're now saying that these people were spied on, then you have to wonder, did the NSA know that George Papadopoulos was about to be met by a honeypot floozy who was maybe trying to get him into bed? My bet is yes. My bet is Susan Rice knew. So now that makes three people who probably knew about this. Susan Rice as National Security Advisor, John Brennan as a CIA Director, and Loretta Lynch as the Attorney General. Because, again, you're not going to go over on foreign soil and have a meeting with a Trump campaign operative and an undercover informant to the government when you're using multiple federal agencies, multiple processes, and not get the okay from somebody higher up than you. So now ask yourself the obvious question, and this is the obvious question. It's 2016. It's an election year. It's election year in 2016. The CIA, the NSA, and the FBI are all working together on this massive international spying effort here. Whatever you want to call it, spying or not, you call it whatever you want to call it. But they're all working together on this because it's taking place on foreign soil and U.S. soil. And you're dealing with a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court. You're dealing with possibly other foreign agencies overseas. Who else knew and who at the White House knew? And again, I have to ask that question because today Democrats are screaming about Robert Mueller, getting Robert Mueller to testify in front of them. Get Robert Mueller here. I would like to have the United States Senate, which is run by Republicans, I'd like to have Lindsey Graham's committee bring in the following people and question them. John Brennan, Susan Rice, Loretta Lynch. Bring them in and then ask them the following questions. Did you okay these informants going overseas to meet with George Papadopoulos? Yes or no? Did you know about it? Did you tell anyone in the White House? Put them under oath and ask those questions. All three of them. It's like the old saying, you know, if you get a bunch of people who are crooks in a room and you make them a deal, first one who flips is going to be okay. All right? Can't help you. And then you separate them in different rooms and you go, well, he just told us everything. And you don't know if it's true or not. You know, the mental game they play. That's what you have to do with these three. We know that the three of them are involved in this. We know that. That's not conspiracy stuff. And the reason why the New York Times is not saying which agency this woman worked for, the honeypot, is that they know that it's the CIA. But it's not just CIA. It's the FBI running point for the CIA. So as all of this comes out to people, you have to ask yourself a major, major question. Did the White House know? Did President Obama know? Did he give the okay on this? And then if he did, what does that say? What happens then? What happens then if we find out the answer is yes? Because my bet is if I were a betting man, I'd bet yes. I bet he did know. Too many agencies, too many people who got there because they're savvy and they're political and they know how to CYA because they wouldn't be there if they didn't CYA. So what does all of that mean? Now, I don't know if you remember this or not. When Senator Grassley, Chuck Grassley, posted the letter that Susan Rice wrote about the meetings that President Obama had with all of the people and said that was done by the book and that everything was done by a law enforcement perspective. Now, law enforcement perspective tells me that it was run by the FBI. They ran the point because it was being done as law enforcement, counterintelligence investigation, but done by the FBI. And then we have the assist from these national security agencies, CIA, NSA, DIA, maybe, because I think James Clapper probably was involved too. And on it goes. And somebody's letting the chief of staff to the president know, because nobody's doing stuff like that without him knowing and saying the okay. Somebody's making sure this is okay. You're talking about an operation of an undercover agent meeting with campaign officials on the Trump campaign when the evidence that they might be doing something with Russia is so flimsy at that point, it's so incredibly paper thin that it's laughable that somebody realizes that they could go to prison for this because it's so laughable that your basis now of having this multi-agency task force that's now spying on a campaign on foreign soil is based on what exactly? The fact that George Papadopoulos bragged about knowing people in Russia or because of a rumor about emails? Not enough. It's not enough. So somebody's making sure they know about this. So then today the president's asked about this in the Oval Office, not this in particular, but he's asked about Barr, and he's asked about having Don McGahn testify, and he's asked about Mueller, and he's saying the same thing over and over again. Look, these people have asked a lot of questions. We've spent a lot of money here. We've spent millions of dollars. The investigation's gone on. There's no collusion. There's no obstruction. But I want to know when the Inspector General's investigation goes on, the people that were behind all of this. I want names. I want when, where, how. I want how high it went. I want a chart. I want a flow chart. I want a pyramid. I want all of it. I want the Maslow's hierarchy of needs based on the hierarchy of okays on all this. That's what needs to come out here. if the evidence is still there, because I get very, very worried that these people did a lot of things to destroy evidence. I really do. It makes me very nervous.
Rich Cioli, 3 till 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.